Okay, let's turn from snow to ice, because the Bruins finally snapped a 5-game losing streak with a win on Saturday, and I actually watched part of it, thank you very much, which means that Radio Boston's Chris Sitterick's plot to turn me into a Bruins fan may actually be
working.
So for more on the Bruins and other Boston sports, let's check the score with him. Chris, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, I thought I might be asking you to explain a fairly serious losing streak today, but they snapped it Saturday night, and I admit it was exciting. How big a win was this?
See, it's already working, first
of all.
I love it.
Yeah,
it
kind of is.
It was a big win. It wasn't a season-on-the-line kind of win. But anytime you have that many losses kind of stacking up, you want to turn it around, obviously. They pulled off the 4-2 win over the Florida Panthers. I think more important than the win itself was how they won. They got big contributions from their second line. We've talked about the lines in hockey. Your first line are your stars, and then second line, third line kind of come out as substitutions. Krejci and DeBrusque each had a goal and an assist on that second line. But ultimately, the stars on that first line, David Pastrnak, continues to light it up. He had 2 goals. He's now got an NHL leading 28 goals on the year. Here's what that first goal sounded like.
Got a hold of it, but Krug down on a knee, holds in. Pastrnak shoots. Oh, that's blocked. Weegar slow getting up after blocking the shot. Marchand puts it in front. They score. Easy tip-in for Pastrnak, the league's leader in goals. It's a 3-0 deficit now for the Panthers.
So that ended up being a pretty big goal. They're up 3-0. The Panthers come back. The Panthers have come back before against this team. So it was a big fourth goal by Pastrnak. His second was an empty netter with about 2 minutes left in the game. Panthers goalie Bobrovsky played really well, but the Bruins just peppered him with shots, chance after chance after chance. 22 shots in the first period, but they end up getting the win.
Okay, so this was the Bruins team that you told me about that we saw on Saturday night. But 5 games lost in a row. I did find myself wondering, were you a little premature and how effusive you were about this team the last time, or was this just a glitch this streak?
First of all, I just was excited by the start, all right? I've never made any promises here. But ultimately, I think what you saw is kind of come down to earth. They had this unbelievable blazing red-hot start. But again, I think it's how they played this game. You're getting contributions from everyone now. And we actually started to see it on the road trip, even though they finally got the win on Saturday. A couple of games before that, head coach Bruce Cassidy basically said he started to feel the tide turning, and he knew that they were due for a win.
Well, I did. If you play like that every night, you know, you're in the game, first of all. A bounce here or there, or one play separated us from winning and losing in those games. I thought we weren't outplayed by any means. You know, and that play happened to be maybe the power play goal, right? We finished one. We'd had some good looks, and that one gives us a little bit of a cushion.
So good to hear good to see the power play scoring again. They had kind of gone quiet for a while, and basically, what? You're smiling.
I gotta stop you there.
What are you laughing
at? Sorry. I just have to compare and contrast how many words just came out of that coach's mouth compared to what we would have gotten from Bill Belichick. And I'm listening, and he just kept talking.
Yeah, honest answers about what I think of the team and all that. Absolutely.
Full
of
content and reflection. I'm sorry.
That's all right. I've actually been covering the Pats for the station of a couple of the last games, and being in that room when he stares down a reporter and gives absolute silence in response to a question is pretty chilling.
Yeah,
it's interesting.
All right. I took you off your point
that's
but
right.
I was distracted by how verbal he was.
No, I think ultimately, though, the point here is that 1-3 on the road trip is not terrible on a 4-game road trip. They played 2 of the best teams in the East in Washington and Tampa Bay. They dropped those games, but they were competitive. And this is a big month. They've got 15 games in the month of December, which is a ton of hockey. It takes a huge physical toll. So it's really good to see this team kind of clicking on all cylinders again.
All right, but what are they going to do in this 15 games to make me love them? Because I know this is, you know, I'm starting to get interested. So what comes next?
Well, I mean, the first line is one of the best first lines in hockey in terms of absolutely electric play. So you'll see a highlight reel stuff pretty much night in and night out on that first line. But I find this team most compelling when everyone is stepping up, second line, third line, fourth line. And really, if they want to make a deep playoff run, that's what it's all about. You found in the playoffs last year, once the first line started to slump a little bit, basically nobody else was getting anything done. And so to see the scoring chances come from across the board is really a good development for this team.
All right, that's what I will be watching for. But in the meantime, we also had an important win for the Pats on Sunday. What did you make of the game?
I mean, your first takeaway for anybody watching is the Bengals stink, right? We knew that going in, and that was confirmed as we watched the game play out. The offense for the Patriots still struggling, and I think we saw Brady seems to be hurting a little bit. There's rumors that he's got a elbow injury. Nobody knows exactly what it is, but you can see it in warm-ups. He throws and then kind of tries to work his arm around a little bit, loosen it up. Edelman looks like he's playing hurt, which doesn't leave them with a ton of options on the offensive side of the ball.
I mean, they're the only two who have been connecting. So right. If those two are hurt, what do we do?
No, exactly. And so that really comes down to it's all about the defense for this team. Can the defense continue to perform and set the offense up with short fields? And we saw that yesterday. Stephon Gilmore is maybe the best defensive player in the league. He had two interceptions yesterday. Here's what the second one sounded like.
On first and 15, Dalton picked off. Gilmore down the sideline. See you later. Touchdown, New England. Second pick of the day for Stephon Gilmore.
So who needs an offense when you got a defense that good, right?
When you got defense scoring touchdowns all game.
Yeah,
takes care of
that'll
it.
That'll work.
You. Okay, but and that does bring us back to I said an important win, not a big win,
right?
Because really, it was the Bengals.
It
and
was
it
the Bengals.
Still looked
the
like
one
it
and
was
13
work.
Bengals,
right?
Yeah, and they really had to slug it out. That whole first half was pretty ugly. I think there were some positives there in terms of the rushing game. It's hard to know exactly how much of that will translate down the road because we don't know how much is what the Pats are doing versus what the Bengals are not doing. But the Patriots had 175 yards on the ground. They were getting about 5.5 yards every single rush. So I think that's a positive development. And I also think the use of screen passes. So screen passes, when you basically let the defensive line through your offensive line and then dump a short little couple yard pass over the top for your running back.
Plink.
Yeah, they did that to James White. Here's what that sounded like on the opening drive.
Third and 10 right here. They fake it to Edelman, and they swing it to White. White takes a block. Still going. Stays on his feet, and White will score! Touchdown, New England! A 23-yard scamper for James White.
So okay, he's disappeared for a while. James White, it's good to see him back. That's where he thrives. Get him the ball in space. Let him do his thing.
Okay, but anytime we're celebrating scampering, it does make me think we might be concerned.
Well,
about...
that's kind of James White's game. He's a little shifty. He can kind of slide by. You don't see
scamper.
It coming.
Yeah. I'm just saying. All right, listen, one more thing on football.
Football's got all kinds of jargon. Yeah. Like, doink, scamper. We're
that's right.
Hit for the cycle here.
I cannot believe we're going to talk about something called Spygate again.
Yeah, so this is a really interesting story. It started a week ago Sunday. The Patriots had a video crew in the press box for the Bengals Browns game, and they said they were filming video for a Do Your Job feature of what a day in the life of an advanced scout is like. But a little bit of audio was released on Sunday. Fox Sports' Jay Glazer has a short clip of it here that he obtained. Let's take a listen.
And this is a piece you're filming on your advanced scout?
Yeah.
Yeah. Come on, guys. I don't see the advanced scout in this footage.
No, it's not. We were trying to get some field perspective. My bad.
That's not the field.
Why you would think you could take that?
I didn't know.
So that's the producer from the Patriots. He put out a statement. He's been doing this for 18 years, said he had no idea what they were doing. There's supposedly 8 minutes of footage just of the Bengals sideline. It's weird. It's a weird story.
Yeah, at first I didn't find this interesting at all, actually, because I'm like, Bengals, again, really, we needed to gather intelligence on the Bengals.
Right.
But that audio is pretty interesting.
Yeah, and he offers so quickly to delete all the footage. Let's pretend this never happened
kind of
thing. It is a weird reaction. So the team says Bill Belichick had no idea it was going on. One staff member on the crew has been suspended. But ultimately, the NFL is still investigating. We don't really know where this is going to go.
I hope it's not another gate.
Yeah. I mean, because it's the Patriots, I think you obviously get the attention from the national media, from everybody who's not us, who's rooting against us. So there's that element of it. I expect that they will probably be fined. They may even lose a draft pick just because of the team's history with this kind of thing.
All right. That's Radio Boston's Chris Siderick. Chris, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Okay. Stay with us. Coming up, we're going to talk with Richard Cordray, the first director of the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. I'm Tiziana Deering. This is Radio Boston.